Welcome to the Messy Walk Podcast with Pastor Adam Cook, where our goal is to have a genuine and authentic conversation about the Christian faith journey and what a messy walk with Jesus really looks like. Make sure to follow us for future episodes that will be posted regularly each Wednesday. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Messy Walk Podcast. I am your host, Steph, here with Pastor Adam.
Hey.
We're back for another one. This is our third in this new series called Asking the Wrong Questions. We're on episode 157.
So we're over three years into the podcast. It's pretty crazy. So we're in a series. We will be in this series for a while because there's just a lot of them where we feel like, Steph said, the title of the episode is Asking the Wrong Questions. Because I think that we most of the time are asking the wrong questions and we need to change the question up. And so if you missed the intro to this, I will just give it to you every time just so everybody's on the same page. That way you don't – doesn't really matter if you listen to the ones before. Because there's some people that start new every time. You know, every week you're starting new and you go back. So Valerie and I were at a conference and we were listening to a speaker recently. And he was talking about, you know, the state of the church and church growth and stuff like that. And he just said this thing. He just said, I think we're asking the wrong question. You know, and he was referring to like church attendance that equal in spiritual growth and all those kind of things. But when he said it, I just couldn't get it out of my head. It's just one of those things that just kept lingering. And I don't know what he was talking about, but what I grabbed was, hey, we do this often. We ask the wrong question. And then we end up spending this time thinking about and answering the wrong question when really we ought to change the question up completely. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what we've been doing in the series. So I think we did, is God moving? And we need to change that question, you know, to am I, basically. And then we did, is God speaking, right? And we changed the question of that. Instead of sitting around asking, is God speaking, we should be asking, am I listening, right? And so what you sort of get with this question is it's a, instead of placing the responsibility on God, we kind of turn it around and go, well, where's my level of responsibility that I should be taking in this? Where's humanity's level of responsibility? Like, instead of us just questioning all these things, and so, like, for example, with God speaking, I mean, of course he's speaking. And once we talk through that in the podcast, like, it's a dumb question, actually, because of course he's speaking. The real question is are we listening? So same thing for today. The question comes up of constantly of, does God love me? And this is a question that most people wrestle with on certain levels at different times in their life, right? I don't know how much I wrestle with the question, God, does God love me? But it's a progression. So, like, the question I tend to wrestle with is on this level first is, like, is God real, right? Mm-hmm. And then that starts to lead to, well, if God's real, then does he care about me? Does he love me? You know what I mean? Like, so there's a progression to it.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of people who sit around thinking, does God love me? And a lot of the origin for this question in people's lives comes from relationships with their parents.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if you had less than a great father, right, there are ways in which we end up going, well, if we have to question whether our Father on earth loves us, then we naturally then kind of project that onto God, and does God love us? But it's not just dad, too. It's mom as well.
Yeah, mom,
right?
Too.
Yeah, there's part of a mother's love that is just the greatest love that we know, right? Human love that we know. And if you have issues with mom, right, or you don't, or there's worries, there's fear, there's uncertainty whether mom loves you, then it's easy to sort of think of God as this distant figure who doesn't as well. Right? You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's like, it's not just dad. I think in the church world, because we use the pronoun he, right, for God, which, by the way, is just a catch-all pronoun for God, by the way. Right? Because God is... He's made man and female, male and female, both in his image. So that sort of pronoun doesn't really work well for God, but it's the one that we utilize. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Right? Because God's all things. And so because of that, though, and also because he's referenced as a father consistently in Scripture, we tend to only think about daddy issues with regard to us projecting that onto God. But it's also mama issues, too.
Yeah, but I can definitely say, like, I'm going to just insert this in there. Yeah. In my own life, like, with the things that I felt like maybe wasn't there, like, in a particular parent, like, he was there. He filled that gap.
Right.
Even though I still felt it, and I still feel it today sometimes, like, I always know I can count on God. Like, he fills that gap of whatever parent is not there, you know, in the way that you wanted them to be.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you can definitely see where that ends up making us go, hey, does God love me? Right. Because if we have to question whether a parent loves us as a child, then we're definitely going to question whether God loves us. If we have to question the parent that we see that's with us all the time loves us, then we're definitely going to question the one that we cannot see. And whether or not, you know what I mean? Whether or not God actually loves us, for sure. Right?
And it can also be as like, you feel like things are so unfair because this parent wasn't there. So it does translate to, why was my life unfair? Does God love me? You know?
Right.
It can become that, yeah.
So what we want to do here is we want to change this question up. And we're going to talk through this one a little different than we have the rest of them. So I don't think the right question is does God love me, or does God love you, or does God love us? I don't think that's the right question. I think the real question is do we love him, and do we love others, and
that's
do
right.
we love ourselves? I think that's the real question that we need to ask, because I think the answer to does God love me is like a blatant, obvious yes.
Right.
And so the real question needs to be, so this is how I want to talk through it. If the question we need to switch up and ask instead is do we love Jesus, then we have to go, well, how do we know if we really love Jesus? So we can say we love Jesus, but how do we really know that we do love Jesus? The Bible's answer to this might surprise you, because it's not going to say, you know, you love Jesus because you prayed the sinner's prayer in church one day, right, and accepted him, right? That you walked down the aisle to the altar in the old church, or you raised your hand for the altar call, right? Or that you feel a certain way in your soul for Jesus. The Bible's not going to answer it that way, which is funny, because the way we sort of decide whether, you know, how do I know that I love my husband? Well, we end up going to, I was speaking four step, by the way. I don't have a husband.
LOL.
How do I know I love my wife, right? We usually end up going to the feeling that we have.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, because I feel it. I know it. You know what I mean? And that's not how the Bible answers this question. So it might surprise you. Like,
All
right. How do we know if we really love Jesus? Well, to sum it up, and I'll show you some scripture. We know if we love Jesus by what we consistently, not perfectly, but consistently, do and don't do. We know that we love Jesus, basically what I just said is based on our actions.
Yeah.
On what we do and what we don't do. Now, I don't mean perfectly. I mean, you're going to get this right all the time. I mean consistently.
Yeah.
And consistency does not mean you don't mess up, right? Consistency doesn't mean every single day, every single moment. There's consistency in it. There'll be some fallible pieces, but once a month can be consistently on certain things. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you know, once a day can be consistently. And we're all different in consistency in certain things at different phases of our life, with different parts of our life, right? You know, like you just take all, you can just, this is going to get weird, but you can just take all of how do I say this not crudely? How often we go to the bathroom, right?
Yeah.
Consistency is different for different people.
Right.
Right? Some people going to go, you know, number two, once a day. That's it. Some people are going to go a couple times a day. I'm a couple times, more times a day than not person, right? You know, nobody wanted to hear that, but they just heard it still. And then there's some people like it, so every couple days. You know what I mean? So it's like, consistency doesn't mean every single moment all the time. So when we say this, I don't mean all the time, right?
Right.
I'm saying that what the Bible points back to is this is how you know you love Jesus, by what you do and don't do consistently. It ends up bringing it back to actions, not some little feel-good feeling inside of your soul, or the fact that you, well, I know the way I know I love Jesus is because one time, a long time ago, I raised my hand in church and got saved, right? So
right.
It ends up being based on your actions. So let's read these couple of verses. Steph, read John 14:15. This is Jesus talking, and then we're going to get John talking.
All right, this is NIV. If you love me, keep my commands.
Pretty simple, right? Jesus says, if you love me, guess what you're going to do? You're going to obey me, right? It's going to be seen in your actions, is what he says. And then it's echoed here again by John in 1 John 5-3, which, by the way, 1 John is an underrated book of the Bible.
I agree. It's great.
Underrated. Mm-hmm. It is extremely short. 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, they're all extremely short. It is powerful. It is packed in there. And I think that 1 John contains everything you need to know how to be saved and how to live a godly life. It's all found in 1 John. Anyway, 1 John 5:3 echoes what Jesus just said very simply. But Jesus said, if you love me, you're going to show it in your actions, is what he said, right? Mm-hmm. Look what happens in 1 John 5:3.
In fact, this love for God, to keep his commands, and his commands are not burdensome.
So there it is again. He's echoing again, like, if you love God, that means that it's going to come out in your actions. You're going to keep his commands, and they're not a burden to you. They're not. You're not sitting around going, I got to do what he says, right?
Right.
It's showing that you end up doing it because there's love in your soul. And so this makes us a little uncomfortable when we say that the way we know we love God is based on our actions, because intuitively, the essence of love is not merely actions, right? Deep down, the essence of what love is not just actions. It can't be reduced to just a verb, right?
Right.
You can't. That's why in the Greek there were multiple words for the phrase love, right? Mm-hmm. But in our context, we only use one word for it. And so we'll say, I love donuts. And then we'll say, I just picked donuts because we had donuts at youth last night and I didn't eat any. I was good, but they looked amazing.
I bet.
They had all kinds of different Krispy Kremes, like not like the ones
store
you get.
Bought.
Like these were like all kinds of crazy ones.
Oh,
like
wow.
Reese's Pieces Krispy Kremes and all kinds of stuff. Anyway, I didn't eat any. So I love donuts, and then we can say I love my wife. Those things mean two different things.
That's different,
right?
Yeah.
They mean two different completely things, and we know that about the word when we say it.
Mm-hmm.
So it feels weird to reduce love just down to this statement of actions, mm-hmm. because intuitively we know that it's actually more than that. But here's the thing. God made us as humans to wear our love on our sleeves. What he's done is he's wired us to serve what we treasure. We are wired to, our actions go to bolster what it is that we actually love and treasure inside our hearts, right? And so,
right.
So you see what we treasure based on our actions, but it's the most, the best indicator of whether or not you love Jesus is based on what you consistently do or don't do.
That's right.
Right? Because it's you're serving the treasure that you have in your life. Like, neither Jesus nor John meant that obeying Jesus' commands is the same thing as love. What they mean was that love for God, by its very nature, produces these consistent characteristics of the obedience of faith, right? So on earth, love for Christ tends to look like obeying Christ, right?
Yeah.
Because the way we see it is we serve what we treasure. We obey and follow what we love. Does that make sense? Right?
Yes.
So we use what we have to serve what it is we actually love. And so you got a couple things. Love, faith, and obedience, they're not the same things, right? So, but they're linked.
Yes.
You know, they're linked together. So love is our cherishing or our treasuring Christ. It's the deep cherish or treasure we have in our hearts, right?
Yes.
And then faith is us trusting Jesus. And obedience is us doing what he says, right? It's all those things together. The essence of each of these is different, but though they are distinctly different, they're inseparable.
Yeah.
You can't have love without then that then coming trusting and then coming obedience, right? And you're not going to have long-term obedience without love being the root of it.
Nope.
You're right? You know what I mean? Like, you're just not going to do
no
it.
There's no way.
You're not going to do it. And so we cannot love Christ without trusting, right? And that's exercising faith. And we cannot trust him without obeying him. So naturally, we cannot love Christ if we live in a persistent conscience disobedient to him, right? So if we're, this is what I meant by when we said, how do you know if you love Jesus? Well, you know it by what you consistently do or don't do, right? And so if we consistently live in this complete state of intentional, on-purpose disobedience, then it's showing a disregard, right, to obey, which shows a disregard to trust, which is rooting back to a lack of love, right?
Yeah.
In other words, you don't treasure him, right? He's not your source of life, right? That you're cling to. You know what I mean? Like,
that's right.
And so, because otherwise you would actually obey. So you know whether you love Jesus or not based on what you do, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm not trying to rule this back into some legalism, right? Of you got to check off these things that you do, and then therefore it proves that you love Jesus. No, it doesn't work that direction.
No.
But what it does work is that what you choose to serve in your life is your master. This is what Jesus is saying.
Yep.
And what you choose to serve and what you do with your actions, your time, your energy, your money, your thoughts, all those things on a consistent basis, it shows what it is you actually love and treasure in your heart. That's the point that we're making, right?
Yeah.
He has wired us to serve what we treasure. And so we know what we love is by what love does. We know what love is by what love does.
That's right.
Right? You know what I mean? Like, that's how we know what it is. Like, you can't qualify it. It's very difficult to qualify love, and at the same time, it's very intuitive.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, you know whether somebody, like, you know whether Jonathan loves you.
Yes. Right?
That's her husband, by the way. He works on the back end of the podcast, too. You know that Jonathan loves you. How do you know it?
By his
because he said it, nah, not just saying it. Because saying it just don't work. I mean, I have a lot of people in my life who say I love you, and I know that they don't mean it.
Right.
You know what I mean? You probably have too.
Yeah.
How you know he loves you? By what he does, right?
Every day. Yeah.
Yeah. Like actions just show it, right?
Yep.
It's thought. It's priority.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it's this consistent thought, priority, actions. It just shows that Jonathan loves Steph, and so it comes out in his actions towards her, his thoughts towards her, his way he speaks towards her, the way he resolves conflict, the way he says he's sorry, right? You know what I mean? Like all
yeah.
these things, right?
That's right.
It shows, because we know what love is by what love does. So the most important place in Scripture, or anywhere else in the world, where we see love demonstrated through faith-empowered obedience is Jesus. So let's circle back around. Does God love me? That question has been answered with the biggest exclamation point that could ever be uttered.
That's right.
It has been answered. And it has not been answered by God opening the clouds and shouting down to us, I love you. All right? He could have done that. We're talking God, right? So God Almighty could have said, you know, the people need to know I love them. So we're going to split open the skies. I'm going to get a great big sound system, you know, one of them heavenly sound systems. I'm going to yell over to the angels and tell them to Gabriel, you know, start cranking up the fog machine and the sound machine. We're going to pump some tunes down. And
yeah.
And I'm going to send this, so I'm going to stop all creation. Everybody's going to stare up to the sky, and I'm going to shout out, I'm God, I'm real, and I love you. Right? And so they'll know it by what I said to them. He doesn't do it that way. And he does speak to us in that way, but not like that, but he speaks to us. He does it through actions.
That's right.
So the best example we have of knowing what love is comes through this exclamation point of Jesus on the cross. And so once again, we even know the answer to the question of, does God love me? Which I think is the wrong question. We shouldn't be asking. Does God love me? We know it through actions too. Through exactly what we're saying, right?
Mm-hmm.
So like, for example, 1 John 3:16, by this we know love, that he laid down his life for us. How do we know God loves us? How do we know what love is in particular? Because you have this action from Jesus who chose to lay down his life. Not just saying it, but doing it. And then Romans 5:8 echoes this again. God shows us his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ Jesus died for us. There's this action yet again. Not just him telling you, there's this action. Greater love has no one than this, that someone would lay down his life for his friends. Jesus says this. That's a Jesus quote from John 15. Jesus says that. Greater love has no man than this, that he would lay down his life for his friends. Like Jesus is literally saying, the greatest love possible is done by your actions of laying down your life for someone else, right? That is the perfect verse that shows us the answer to both these questions. That how do I know God loves me? Well, he's proving it to you through his actions.
Right.
So that question's not really the right question. I really right question. Now, it's something to ponder. We should constantly be pondering and thinking on, like, how much God loves us. My favorite worship song of all time is How He Loves.
Yeah.
It's my favorite one. It's actually the first song that we ever played at Union Church ever. Steph was there that day. I think you were upstairs with us. You might have been with the kids that day.
I might have been with the kids.
Because
yeah.
We only had, I mean, literally
the
this
kiddos.
Was. This was the church's second meeting that we used this song, or third meeting. I think it was the second meeting. We have a picture of you, so you must have been up there for it.
No, I was up there for that. Yeah, yeah.
The second meeting or so, and we didn't have no music. We didn't have anybody. We literally had 18 people, right? We started off with 14 people, and by this day, we had 18 people. And we took and we played How He Loves Us on a CD player that had paint on it and a broken antenna in the corner of the room. And we started writing down people's names on a canvas. Do you remember that?
Yes.
We have
oh
a picture
my gosh.
Of you doing this.
That's wild to remember.
That's one of my favorite songs.
Mm-hmm.
So we should, I'm not saying the question is wrong. Don't think about whether or not God loves you. No, we should ponder on that, but I don't think we should question it, because nothing has been proven to be true more than the fact that God loves you, me, and all of humanity, right?
Right.
All of humanity. And the verse of all verses that people have quote so much, right, is John 3:16, for God so loved the world, right,
yep.
that he gave his only son, right? Through these actions that you see, God loves not just you and me and not just the person in church, the Christian, but the entire world. That's everybody, right, that will accept him or not accept him. Yes, he loves. So I'm not saying that you don't think about and ponder whether God loves you or not, or ponder about his love. Right?
Yeah.
Because that's one of my favorite songs. I mean, I love to think about that song. It makes me think about this mightiness of God. And my favorite part of that song, it talks about he's the wind, I'm the tree, right? Like his mm-hmm. love is just overwhelming.
Yeah.
So you should think about it, but that's not the question you got to get hung up in. You got to go past from that question of obviously God loves us. The question is do I love him? That's the one we need to be thinking about all the time. Do I love him? And so how do we know if we love Jesus? Well, by what we consistently, not perfectly, do or don't do. That's what shows whether we love God or we don't. You know, and don't get hung up in the perfectly part. And that's why I brought up that weird illustration about bowel movements before, is it's consistency. And consistency is different at different phases of life, different levels of maturity, different things that we're talking about, right? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's based in our actions. All lovers of Jesus, and we don't get this right either all the time, okay? We're messing this up a lot. But all lovers of Jesus are going to refuse to walk in continual, conscious, persistent disobedience to him because we love him. We want
right.
to. This is the path, right? We love, so we trust. And when we trust, we obey.
That's right.
Right? And then that's what our actions are coming from obedience. And it works that way backwards. What is it that we are doing in our obedience? Well, that's because we trust him. And why do we trust him? Well, we trust him because we love him.
That's
and
right.
we know he has our best interest in mind, and he's the treasure in our lives. You
That's
know what I mean?
Right.
He's the treasure in our lives. And so it's the actions that sort of show these things. And it doesn't mean you get it perfect all the time, right? And it can't be boiled down to some sort of just 10 things Christians do, right? That this is just the stuff that they do. No, why do we do those things anyway, right? Well, because he commands us to. Well, then why do we obey his commands? Because we trust him.
Yeah.
Right? Well, why do we trust him? Because we love him. Right?
Yep.
Because he's the root of our heart, right? He's the source of our soul. He's the center of all things. He's the things we treasure.
Man of his word.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
I remember, I'll never forget the moment. I've told this a bunch. I guess Union was about maybe 3 or 4 years old, right? So that means Olivia was 7 or 8, somewhere in that range.
Yeah.
So we're talking about a decade ago or so. And my kids have always, started with Olivia, always begged to go to church early with me in the mornings. And so this was back when we were doing, only one service, I think, and that one service was at 11 o'clock in the morning. Right. Imagine this, Steph. You could go back to this. One service, 11 o'clock. That means we didn't have to get up and get to church until like 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning. You know what I mean? Which would be great because right now we'd be getting there early. And so, you know, when you worship, when you do the worship team and stuff, you got to get up early because there's multiple ones. But I can't remember what it was. So she comes with me early, and it makes sense because it's not there early in the morning, right? And we're in the office. And this was back when I used to write my tithes. I used to do my tithes with a personal check, right? Nobody writes checks anymore, but I used to write checks. And so Olivia's second grade, something like that, right? And she's learning these things about numbers and money, and she can read now. You know what I mean? So she's in the office, and we didn't have much of an office because it was like the office was inside the worship area, right? And it's before church starts, and I get my checkbook out, and I'm writing my tithe check. And she can read, so she's doing what kids do. She's looking over my shoulder, you know, and I'm like, just doing it. And she goes, "Daddy, that is a lot of money. What are you doing? Where's that money going to?" You know, I'm like, I'm writing this check to the church. Why are you giving that to the church? I'm like, well, it's to the church, but it's to God. I was like, these are what we call our tithes. Mom and Daddy, we tithe. And she's like, why would you give God that much money? Why would you give the church that much money? I mean, to her, it's just like this astronomical figure. When really, it ain't that much, just let me be honest. Right? But it was a month's worth of, you know, tithes. And I just said, honey, you don't understand. And I didn't say, here's the reason we do this. And I wasn't thinking about this in advance. So this is not like well thought out, let me say the right Christian answer. This was truly showing my heart. This is why I'm bringing this up in this moment. I didn't think out what to say. And I didn't just say to her, well, that's what we do as Christians. Christians are supposed to tithe. So we write tithe checks. I didn't do any of that. I said, baby, you don't understand. There was a time where Daddy wasn't a good person, you know, and God found me, and he loved me, and he redeemed me, and he's my treasure.
Right.
Right? He's my treasure. And so I give to him what's his. I obey him, right? He tells us to do this, and I obey him because I love him. Mm-hmm. And I love him, why? Because he first loved me, right? Because he loved me first when I didn't love him. And now I love him, so I trust him. And because I trust him, I obey him. That's what I'm trying to say here.
Yeah.
So the question, I mean, ponder on the great love of God. Sit around and think about how amazing it is and how good and grand the love of God is for us. Be literally blown away and amazed by the fact that God could love a people like us, right? That he could love this jacked up humanity enough to send his son to die for us. Ponder on that, but don't sit around questioning whether God loves you or not. It's obvious. Instead, change the question around to, do I love him? And if you want to know the answer to that, look at whether or not you're obeying out of your trust, out of your love. It'll show you the root of it. Does that make sense, Steph?
That does make sense.
Yeah. I didn't go too far when I started talking about bowel movement.
That was a little far, but that's fine. I think people are going to get the idea.
Especially since I brought it up two more times since I said it the first time. See, it's cool having Steph right here because she's not uncomfortable with those kind of phrases.
No, I'm not.
If I would have said that when Chloe was over there in that chair, she'd have been up underneath the table right now. She can't handle that. Some people can't handle talking about stuff like that.
She's hilarious. I love her so much.
I listened to, there were some girls in our youth group that sent me a question asking about gluttony, and I sent them a podcast that Chloe and I did. I think it's episode 34.
Wow.
And after I sent it to them, I was like, I got to make sure that that's about gluttony. I might have said them the wrong thing. You know what I mean? So I started listening to it, and I heard Chloe's voice, and it was kind of cool. But anyway, that's completely off subject. I was making fun of Chloe. She'd have hid under the desk when I started talking about poo-poo. Anyway, yeah, that's where we're at for today. So next week we will hit up why doesn't God do something? all the stuff going on in the world, why didn't he do something? That's a question we need to change to. So we'll get to that next week.
Yeah, I look forward to it. I do. All right, well, join us next time.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us on the Messy Walk Podcast with Pastor Adam Cook. Make sure to follow us for future episodes that will be posted regularly each Wednesday. Have a good day.